This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bikes. Today, joining me virtually is
Christine Wong.
Christine Wong. Good afternoon to you. Hi. Christine. So this whole week on Enterprise Biz Bikes, we've been talking about work-related issues. What are we asking today, Christine?
So we are asking you, do you have a cut-off time when replying to work emails or WhatsApp messages? We've got a poll up on Twitter at BFM Radio with yes after work hours, yes on weekends, no I'm available 24/7 or other tell us what.
All right. Okay. So this came about because being connected to the internet 24/7 with our phones also means we're open to work email messages and requests at all hours of the day. And since work creates a sense of urgency, it's hard to not reply to these messages almost immediately. This, alongside the pandemic's acceleration of digital adoption, has led to something called text anxiety and is hampering productivity like never before. So we came across this very interesting article on The Guardian about text anxiety and how it makes us want to throw our phones at the wall. Yes, mm-hmm. That was in the article. Basically, text anxiety is what causes someone to willfully ignore their phones, procrastinate replying to messages, or just disconnect completely. It's a condition that stems from being available all the time, especially to work, and feeling the constant need to reply immediately. While social media and messaging apps claims to keep us more connected to each other, many younger users are finding themselves exhausted from constant notifications, balancing multiple exchanges at once, and carrying conversations through the course of a week.
Mm-hmm. In fact, a 2020 study exploring the effects of information overload and online conversation dynamics found that overexposure to information can suppress the likelihood of response by overloading users, which is why millennials are described as the burnout generation. This generation has matured in a technological world that allows for work, information, communication to follow them literally everywhere. Mm. So obviously, text anxiety has been made worse by the pandemic. Zoom meetings have blurred the lines between work and casual chat. And these statistics give a better idea of just how much the pandemic has impacted the need for connectedness. There was a 61% increase in social media engagement during the first wave of the pandemic, but that wasn't for the love of it, because 73% of users expressed a negative sentiment towards social media in the past year. The average American has 47 unread text messages and 1,602 unopened emails, which personally gives me a lot of anxiety as well. And yet, the average phone screen time for American adults is 4.2 hours per day, which is way more than ever before. This suggests that people are spending more time on their phones, but they still have less time to complete conversations.
Right. So tomorrow we'll do a story on email anxiety. That's just for you, Christine. So the average person has three modes of communication online. There's Instagram, there's Twitter, and there's Facebook. They encourage interaction through likes and shares, instant messaging apps like WhatsApp and Messages, which encourages long threads of conversation and group chats. And finally, the traditional form of communication like email and SMS. Mm. So the resulting number of conversations is almost unbelievable. The average person checks their phone 262 times. I think I've been sort of covering this story and the numbers have gone up, right? Mm. Which is a major increase from the 80 times a day average in 2016. Yes, that's probably where I last read this number.
Yeah.
Experts have recommended creating communication boundaries and disconnect from time to time, but this is easier said than done. On email, people feel obliged to be constantly responsive, especially when replying late reflects badly on email etiquette. Mm. And sometimes it's crucial to push notifications to be turned on, and as everyone knows, it's hard to ignore a push notification once you've seen it.
Yeah, and ultimately it boils down to belonging. People have a sense of a fear of missing out when they're not engaged, and as smartphones have become essential devices, adaptations are constantly being made to help users connect faster and more frequently. To some people, the sight of multiple unread notifications can trigger feelings of anxiety, and the idea that we owe a response to someone or that someone's waiting to hear back from us can create this cycle of guilt and shame and stress. And the article ends by saying that at the end of the day, what we're looking for is not more ways to stay connected, but higher quality ways to stay connected.
Right. This is terrible when we talk about shame and stress, right? Mm-hmm. From your text anxiety. Well, we want to get an expert to help us further understand text anxiety. So after these messages, we'll get in touch with Dr. Joel Low from the Mind Psychological Services and Training to answer some questions. So stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. Frida Liu together with Christine Wong. Today we are asking what question, Christine?
We are asking you guys on Twitter at BFM Radio, do you have a cutoff time when replying to work emails or WhatsApp messages? Let us know there, or you can even WhatsApp in for a longer response, 018-789-8899.
Right. Okay. Now, this came about because we were talking about text anxiety, and this was an article that came up from Guardian saying that this has really affected people, not replying to emails, WhatsApp, you have it, we're constantly inundated with this. Now, we've got with us Dr. Joel Low from the Mind Psychological Services and Training to answer some questions about this whole idea of text anxiety. So thanks for staying on the line with us, Dr. Joel. What are your thoughts about text anxiety, and have you personally seen a rise in such cases?
No, I've not seen many cases of text anxiety, I must say. This is actually the first time I'm reading about it. But I think the nature of the problem is more about communication. The texting is just a medium in which they're talking about, I would think.
Right.
And what effect do you see this having on younger employees and people in general? Will we revert to more face-to-face conversations?
Yeah, I don't think they will revert to more face-to-face conversations necessarily. I think it's just, like I said earlier on in question one, I think the problem here isn't so much the medium. I think it's just the communication in general. Underlying the text anxiety, I think, is this apprehension towards putting things down on notes or writing down for whatever reason. Maybe they don't want it to be recorded or whatever it is, right? Ultimately, that's the main underlying issue that we need to focus on.
Right. So that's you feel that that's what, not putting it down on record, right? So, Dr. Joel, this connecting from our devices is easier said than done, especially when work happens via messaging apps. What's the more practical method of taking a break?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think to say to disconnect or to not utilize these devices is an impossibility in this day and age, right? More and more, we are relying on our phones to communicate either via text or voice messages or emails and stuff like that, right? I think a more practical approach would be to see the usage of devices much like how we see work. Having scheduled times to engage in work, having scheduled times to engage in play, for example, and also social activities, be a lot more feasible and manageable, I think, rather than to go on a full fast or detox or what have you.
Right.
And what can employers do to avoid employees from being overwhelmed by work messages and emails and requests?
That's a good question, but I think it's quite a hard to answer one, because ultimately, if that's the medium of communication that the company uses, then it's not going to be easy for you to move away from it, right? I think ideally what could happen is that, regardless of whether you are communicating through phone calls or emails or text messages or whatnot, the need to respect time is important. I think that's the most critical part here. And what I mean by that is that if they are able to say that, okay, I'm going to only text my employees from 9 to 6 p.m., for example, then stick to that, right? So regardless of how you communicate, that should be the cutoff points in that sense. And I think if you can do that, that's actually a really good way to give some reprieve towards these people as well.
Personally, do you see texting, social networks, and even Zoom as effective ways of communications, especially in a professional setting?
Yeah, I think so. I think ultimately these are just mediums or means of communicating, right? And any tool that we have at disposal, it's how we use it that's the issue. It's like fire, right? Fire, we can help us cook food and make cars and stuff like that. But at the same time, if we use it wrongly, then it's going to burn your house down, right? So same goes with these tools. I think they're fantastic with communicating. During this COVID, this pandemic, if we didn't have half these tools that we had, I think we'd be in a lot more trouble, right? Someone was talking about it. If this COVID happened 10 years ago or 15 years ago, right? We all be playing Snake at home, and there's only so much Snake we can play on our Nokias and things like that, right? So I think it is a fantastic, wonderful, effective tool. But the question is how we're going to use it. That's the question here.
Right.
So do you see tech-related anxiety increasing or decreasing as we return to some form of normalcy? Why or why not?
I think tax-related anxiety is something that will continue to occur. I think it's something that's not going away just because it's so ingrained into our society and our culture and our very lives, right? I think the main issue here is really, again, how do we use this tool, right? Ultimately, it's a tool for research. It's a tool for us to learn stuff, to communicate and all that kind of good stuff, right? But again, we use it disruptively or we use it badly, right? I think that's going to come back and bite us in that sense, right? They think about Facebook, for example. Facebook is a wonderful tool to connect with people, with family members, friends who live overseas and who are not around us, for example. Or to connect to other like-minded individuals from, from all walks of life, if we have a passion for, drones or photography or whatever it is, right? And you can see the potential there to connect people, which is basically what Facebook is used for, right? But again, because we are not responsible about it, we didn't use it effectively, it's become a breeding ground for things like contempt, like social media envy, for example, and things like that, which is problematic in its own right. So ultimately, I think the responsibility comes back to us, the buck comes back to us in that sense. How are we going to use these tools and technology at our disposal to make the best out of it?
Right. Thanks. And that was Dr. Joel Low, Director and Clinical Psychologist at the Mind Psychological Services and Training. So interesting. He was talking about Nokia and snakes. I was like, whoa. All right. I don't know if you were born then. Christine, what do you do, in terms of trying to get away from ticks anxiety?
First of all, my first phone was, in fact, a Nokia that had snake on it. So there we go. Definitely a part of my early teenhood. Okay. But I think so for me, I have this, I think this is pretty common, but I don't like seeing the fact that I have unread anything. I find it very annoying because, again, the article said it's that pressure of feeling like you had to reply to something.
Okay.
So what I've started doing, especially when it comes to my emails, is I created a label that basically says to respond in morning. And then there's another one that says for follow-up. So basically, I will read all my emails, but I force myself to basically put a you don't need to respond to this right now message on it. Okay. Anything that is not completely urgent and completely important, it will get that little label. And then I get to that. When I have the space to get to that.
Right.
Then for the other one, which is for follow-up, that's things where I'll respond to it now just to let them know that I'll follow up with them later.
Right. Okay.
So then I set that expectation. I don't feel that guilt, but I still am not engaging in that conversation when I'm not ready for it.
Right. Okay. So I'm just wondering, cause for me also, I can't stand mail that's not read, right? And I'm just wondering whether it's a personality thing as well, right? This,
It may well be because I definitely know some people who, they have 10,000, quite literally 10,000 unread emails in their inbox. And I just stare at them I don't know how you live your life.
I have anxiety when I see that, right? So I'm just wondering if it's a personality. But also, why I'm also saying whether it's a generational thing, you would be a digital native, right?
Yes.
And, I'm not. So I'm just wondering whether, because I have been around before, that time, before the internet, so maybe I'm able to separate it a little better. But I know that this can either control me because email, I think, fine, if you don't read the email. But when WhatsApp messages come through, right, what do you do? Do you ignore them over the weekend?
Okay, I will fully admit it here. I'll fully put myself accountable. I will mute my WhatsApp conversations over the weekend.
Okay.
I've gotten to the point where, much like you say, I grew up with technology as an integral part of my life. Mm. And it's getting to the point now where I just can't allow that to be, especially for work, I can't allow that to be, 24/7 access anymore.
Right.
So I will be that person that just mutes everything. Because when you mute it, the notification doesn't come up.
Yeah, right.
And so therefore, I don't really have that pressure. But then the moment I open the floodgates on Mondays, right, then I have to deal with it then. But it's better than feeling obligated to be accessible all the time.
Okay, so that's your strategy of just putting it on mute and then just looking at money. Because otherwise, you'll just be constantly looking at it and you never switch off, right?
I don't want to set a precedent that I'm always free because I'm not,
Right.
That's something that I feel is really important and that boundary setting. Much like Dr. Joel said, it's the attitude towards this. It's not necessarily the tool itself that is causing the problem.
Mm. And I always find that if it's really urgent, you'll call me.
Exactly.
Right?
So in that sense, now when someone calls me, my brain immediately goes, it has to be really important. But at the same time, again, it's better to have that mindset of if it's really, really important, they'll find a way.
Okay, so that's your strategy. Now, I've got a couple of, I don't know if you got any comments, I got a couple of comments here over on WhatsApp before we get to the final poll results here. Steve Chong says, sometimes I don't feel like replying back at all, as some people only wait for you to reply, then they will reply you back. Okay, so that's your, here, anonymous, please. She says 24 to 48 hours to reply work email messages unless more time is required to resolve issues in order to answer the email messages. For phone calls, reply as soon as possible. But nowadays, I notice people working in office will be busy with their WhatsApps but will not pick up a call. Well, can someone explain why? Is it a generation thing, or priority and urgency are words that are not applicable anymore? Okay.
I will say this, right? I don't like calling on the phone at all.
Okay.
So usually when someone calls me and I can't take it for whatever reason, I will then text them later instead of calling them back.
Right.
Because to me, I assume, you know, oh, I was busy when they called me, so I don't want to interrupt them by calling them back, right?
Right.
But you have to have that follow-up. I think it's, you know, if you just call and then they just completely ghost you, then that's a fun.
You know, so again, generation thing, right? I find that, which is very interesting. I will find that if it's really urgent, someone calls me at middle of something, I'll say, please leave a message or text, and I will call the person back. I find that a lot of things get clarified a lot more when I have that conversation.
Yeah.
And then it's summarized in a WhatsApp or an email about a conversation, right? So it's like, actually, they're just things that, you know, are better expressed. And I find that as much as possible, even now, I just say, can we do a Zoom call? Because when I talk to someone and I'm seeing your face, it feels it feels a lot more personal.
Yeah, right? I think I do agree with some of that. But for me, it's you need to establish like consent for them to be called back in a way. Like, you know, you have to make sure like, hey, you know, I noticed that you called me. I know it's really urgent, but like let me know when I can call you back and we can actually have a conversation about this, as opposed to just calling without any warning.
I said, I'll be free at 4.
Yes.
Call me then. That's
exactly.
Okay. All right. We've set some boundaries.
Yes.
Christine, I know when to call you, and I know that if I leave a message for you, a sad day is not muted. She's only going to see it on Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. What are we looking at in terms of the poll results?
So, interestingly, in the polls, I get the feeling a lot of people are setting a lot more boundaries because an overwhelming majority, 57%, say yes after work hours. Well done, you guys. 22.6% say yes on weekends. 18.3% no, I'm available 24/7. Oof. And 2.2% say other, tell us what. But they did not tell us what. They just said that it was other. But I'd be curious to know
what is.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today's Enterprise Biz Bites. Thanks for, you know, giving your thoughts and taking part in the poll as well. We'll be back again tomorrow for more on Enterprise Biz Bites. This is Frida Liu together with Christine Wong, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.